the last of the tens. Asara dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbat ben Hashmashot ve'eluhem. So the Mishnah here describes ten things that were created on the Erev Shabbat, on the sixth day of creation, ben Hashmashot, just as Shabbat was coming in. The sun had set, but it was still not quite Shabbat. And then there's a list. The list are all things, perhaps the final case, we'll get to the second, are what we would call miraculous events, or particular things of quite particular work in a supernatural way that that we learn of as the Torah progresses. So, for example, Pi Ha'aretz, the mouth of the earth, when Korach was swallowed up, Pi Ha'Be'er, right, the well that accompanied Bnei Israel in the desert, Pi Ha'Aton, the mouth of Bilam's donkey that's when Vatiftach. When God opened up Bilam's the mouth of the donkey in order to speak to Bilam, the Keshet, the rainbow, not to follow the approach of most of the Parshanim here, not the rainbow in the sense of a refraction of light, but the timing of it at the end of the Mabul, the Man, the Mateh, Moshe's staff that was able to turn into snakes and serpents and the like. Shamir, the Shamir being the worm that was able to carve stone for the Beit HaMikdash. Haktav, v'hamikhtav haluchot, the writing of the luchot that enabled it. And here perhaps the Ktav, the Mikhtav might be referring to the two different sets of Luchot. We won't get into it now. The Yesh Omrim, there are more, right? V'ratel shel Moshe ve'elo shel Avraham Avinu, the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ram that Avram Avinu had at the Akedah. V'yesh Omrim av tzvat b'tzvat asuya. Right, and there are those who say that the need for a pincer in order to hold another pincer in the fire, as if you want the first tools, how were they created? Metal tools, how were they created if you didn't have other metal tools to hold them in the first place, so that God created those? Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, some of you are probably familiar with, having perhaps read in the Hakdama to Mishnayot Avavot, the essay of the Rambam, the Shmona Prakim, or if you've learned Moreh Nevuchim, that the Rambam discusses, and many of the Mefarshim of the Mishnah continue in the Rambam's footsteps here in one manner, shape, or another, that basically what's going on here? That basically what the Torah is saying, the Rambam perhaps formulates it more radically than others, but the idea that the miracles that exist in the Torah, that seemingly break with the natural order, are actually implanted in the natural order. That's the idea that this Mishnah is trying to get across. That those aspects, those miracles, whether it's the miracles listed here or Kriyat Yamsuf, they are part of the natural order. Otherwise, they couldn't happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed it into the natural order, as it were, at the last moment. The Rambam, following with this basic approach, and obviously there's much more to talk about, but that's not what I want to focus on. The Rambam asks the simple question. Assuming I'm right, the Rambam says, that what this Mishnah is trying to get across is that you shouldn't think that miracles that are break with nature are against nature, but rather they've been programmed into nature. Why list these? Why not list Kriyat Yamsuf? Why not list? So you're saying that the miracle was programmed in, so program it in with at this point as well. Why talk about specifically these miracles? The Rambam gives an answer. And I'm not going to talk about the Rambam's answer. Perhaps you'll look at it, you'll tell me what you think about the Rambam's answer. I want to focus on an answer, though. He doesn't pose the question. He says it as a matter of fact, but he's asking the question of Rav Shimshon Farkash. He says, what's the idea of the Ben Hashmashot? What's so important about Ben Hashmashot as within the Mishnah? Why couldn't the Mishnah simply have said that 10 things were created, right, at the time, during 10, 15, 20, how many, whatever the number is, right? List all the miracles. And then just say that they were incorporated in Maaseh Bereishit. What is the Mishnah trying to get across by saying that it was Erev Shabbat B'Ben Hashmashot? And here, Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch says the following. He says that one has to differentiate between the creative processes that are that take place during the 6 days of creation and what they represent. And God's resting on the seventh day of Shabbat and what it represents. Basically, the 6 days of creation are in effect the natural order that God created the world. We are creatures of the natural order. And everything that we do during those 6 days of Melacha is an extension in one manner, shape, or form of what happened in the creation. It's our manipulation of that order. Perhaps that's the idea of... forget about the idea. That's the notion that, to quote another Gemara, that the Gemara says that fire was created on Motzei Shabbat. Right? Which is why, one of the reasons why we say Borei Me'orei Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbat. Because what we're saying is that the creation of the world took place in that period of time before Shabbat. Now Shabbat is over, and the manipulation of the world, the physical manipulation represented by fire, right? So that is something that man now starts after that first Shabbat. The Shabbat, on the other hand, that represents the fact that, you know, if we didn't have Shabbat in that first parak of Bereishit, so we would say that the world ends, or creation ends, with man. And creation ends with the tzivui of God to man to conquer the world. Redu. When you have creation ending not with that challenge to man, but with Shabbat, it's saying that you are not the master of the universe. You are at best the steward of the universe. Shabbat ends the creation because Shabbat gives us an appreciation and an understanding that when it comes to what actually goes on in the world, everything that we do, we have to also understand that it's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only in the sense that it's been given to us, because that would be, again, 6 days of creation would be sufficient for that, but that there is a spiritual component. There is the creator of the world is still part and parcel of our world. These 10 examples, now don't have time to go through each one individually, perhaps we'll take one example. But these 10 examples are not just miracles as such, but they're miracles in the sense that they show to the people who were the participants of those miracles, and to us as when we learn about them, that God plays an active role in this world. So if you have, to take, for example, the Pi HaAtom, that she asked, that spoke to Bilam. There you have nature, the animal, talking directly to me. There you have, and it's understood it's not the animal per se. Right? Obviously, it's not the animal speaking. It's God speaking. Do you see God in nature? Do you see God in what you are doing? The last example brought in the Mishnah, the idea of that first tool. In your own industry, in your own accomplishments, do you see the spark of the divine? Do you see the Ribono Shel Olam? So that's why it's at Ben HaShemashot. At that tipping point between Kodesh and Chol, just as the work week is ending, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, squeezes these miracles in order to tell us, the Mishnah says, that everything that you're doing throughout the week, throughout its entirety, everything has or should have a spark of Shabbat. It's not only at Ben HaShemashot, as you're running, you know, and you're asking, well, is the 18 minutes up yet? But throughout the entire week, you should have that sense that Shabbat is about to begin.